Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Lincoln Financial Field. This is the 94 WIP Eagles Draft Show. I'm your host, John Marks. Joe Giglio remains up here with me as well. Elliot Shore Parks, our Eagles reporter. Elliot, how are you?
Doing good. Excited. My mic is on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah. We can hear you.
Elliot's getting some cheers in the crowd.
I know.
Yes.
It took 4 years of the Wentz stuff to wash off.
We are before a live studio audience here live at Lincoln Financial Field. Also joining us live up on stage, he wasn't drafted by the Eagles in 1998. He was acquired by the Eagles in 1998 for a second-round draft pick. His name is Hugh Douglas. Hugh!
Hi. Hi. Hi.
What's up, Hugh?
Hello. Hi.
25 years ago this draft, 25 years ago,
damn.
25 years ago, you were acquired by the Eagles for a second-round draft pick.
Damn.
And to my left, John Ritchie was drafted by the Oakland Raiders with the second pick of the third round. John Ritchie! Later an Eagle.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? 25 years.
Thanks for mentioning.
Yeah, I was thinking it. I just didn't want to say it.
It's longer for you, Hugh. So,
25
since you were drafted,
years,
at least.
I had no idea. I think we were drafted. I think it was the 18th. April.
It's not
that
to
I
the day,
drafted.
But yeah, it was yes.
So it's close. 25 years, more than 25.
It's more than 25 years. So.
But I remember it like it was yesterday. I was pretending. Not to be able to hear the Girl Scout who was trying to sell me Girl Scout cookies at Blockbuster because I'd gone to Blockbuster at the beginning of the third round.
So you were the guy that said, you know what, I'm not watching this
anymore.
I didn't have
ESPN2, and the draft went from rounds one and two. It used to be rounds one, two, and three on day one. It went to ESPN2. My roommates and I, college roommates, we didn't have ESPN2 because we didn't pay for the advanced package.
Right, not everybody had ESPN2.
So I didn't know who was getting drafted.
Imagine
we just went to Blockbuster and I rented The Peacemaker with George.
Imagine
Clooney.
Imagine the Peacemaker. Imagine the value of the NFL draft back then, to where they didn't even keep it on the main network once it went to the third round. Joe Giglio.
Nothing says the year you were drafted like I didn't have the channel and I was at Blockbuster when I was picked. That says it perfectly.
Uh-huh. Now, Hugh Douglas, what do you remember from your? You didn't have to wait as long as some people, but what do you remember from your draft day?
Trying to get to Atlanta. It was Freaknik that weekend, and I was just trying to get to Black College Weekend, and I didn't care where I went. I did not care. I was like, I don't know. I just want to get this over before I can get to Atlanta.
You're ready to celebrate.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the women's down there.
So you remember?
I remember that part of it.
Okay. All right. And you were, but you remember getting the call?
I remember like. When the call came, it was Dick Haley, and he said, hey, you want to be a New York Jet? And I paused for a minute because I wanted to say no. And they said, fool, you better say yeah. And I said, yeah, I'd love to be a Jet. And, I mean, it was fun. It was fun being a New York Jet, but never really felt like I fit into the city of New York. So, yeah.
Well, you certainly fit in here. John Ritchie.
I had no idea who I was drafted by when I was drafted because I was on the West Coast.
Too.
I'm at Stanford, and I'm studying for my – finals and everything else, you know, I had school. I'm trying to finish up, and I was not paying any attention to professional football. All I was watching was college stuff, and it was Pac-10, not Pac-12 back then.
Right.
Watching Pac-10 stuff at Blockbuster, the agent who I had hired encouraged me to get a cell phone. This was the first cell phone I ever procured for myself. I got it at Radio Shack. It was terrible. There was no reception whatsoever. It rings in Blockbuster. A woman's voice comes on, and I thought I was being pranked. I didn't know the woman. I didn't know this person that she was referring to, Coach Gruden. Coach Gruden wants to talk to you. I had no idea that he had been the Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator. I was in college playing college football trying to graduate. I had no clue. After I talked to Gruden for 10 minutes, you ready to bring the juice, Richie, or what? I still had no idea where I was going. It took me until I got home with the peacekeeper or maker or whatever that movie was, until I found out that I was drafted by the Raiders because there was like a press conference, a phone or
well,
press
conference.
Well,
you can't ask,
home.
Right? You don't want to insult.
No,
them, like, Coach Gruden.
So
who do you coach
by the way?
Who are you exactly?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Couldn't do that, but it all worked out.
Wow, it's amazing. So you go to the Raiders, and you're there through 2003.
2002 season, the 2003 Super Bowl.
Right.
When I had prepared. Extensively watching that NFC Championship game against the Eagles, between the Bucs and the Eagles, that
right.
fateful day.
Well, I mean, that was an interesting 1998 draft. If you look at it from an Eagles perspective, the Eagles take Trey Thomas with their first pick, the 11th overall pick. Hugh is traded, the second-round draft pick, back a month earlier. They traded for Hugh Douglas, so he comes in, becomes one of the best defensive ends in franchise history. Elliott in the third round, Jeremiah Trotter gets drafted.
Yeah, I thought you were saying I got drafted. I was
you
like,
did
no, that
not.
Wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't me.
You weren't even alive then.
No, I wasn't.
Allen Rossum goes later in the third round. He did. He was a good player. He went to Atlanta and made a Pro Bowl. Brandon Whiting in the fourth round. He was later traded for T.O., but he was also a good player.
Cal guy.
And then Ike Reese gets drafted in the fifth round. So you look at that. You look at that draft. One of the best drafts in Eagles history, for sure. Especially when you add Hugh and what Hugh was able to be as an Eagle. And what a great draft. What a great draft.
And literally, note, such a great draft for the Philly media scene, too.
Unbelievable.
I mean, great players, but, you know, the WIP's future was decided that day.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. All right, so let's go back to you here, Elliott. What is the latest? And, you know, there's a lot of talk today about Bijan Robinson going before the Eagles drafted 10. We know some people up here are pro-Bijan, some are anti-Bijan. But what's the latest and how do you think everything's working out here on the day of the first round?
Yeah, so I think if the Eagles have their preference tonight, they would like to get one of the defensive linemen in this draft. And you're hearing that with a lot of reporting, but also just common sense. The Eagles are going to try to trade up from the number 10 pick. If the question is how high up are they going to go and who are they targeting, right? Is it Jalen Carter? I'm not so sure. I think if they move up, it might be for Will Anderson. So I think that that's what they would like to do, right? And I think
Will Anderson's the best pass rusher in this draft.
Right,
that's huge if
the
we
Cardinals,
can move all the way up for him.
The Cardinals are reportedly very open to trading the third overall pick. So if the Eagles go from 10 to 3, you're probably looking at least number 30 plus to move all the way up there. So I think they will explore that. And then, of course, the question becomes if they don't move up and they're sitting there at 10, if there's a run at quarterbacks early, like does someone fall to them? Or when they're sitting there at 10 and there's a quarterback on the board, are they going to trade back? So I think that's what they're figuring out now. And it's going to see how the top of this draft goes to really impact what they do at 10.
John Ritchie, you would be the happiest if the Eagles did what tonight? What would you give you the biggest John Ritchie seal of approval?
If we trade back and still get Bijan. I would love to add a second rounder to our agenda while getting the best back in the draft. Maybe the best back the last 5 years.
The best player.
The guy, the second best player in the draft, according to a lot of those ranking systems. But if we trade back because we find that team who wants to get up there, Hendon Hooker is going to be an issue.
He's going to be drafted before a lot of people think.
He might be a top 15 pick.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. If Hendon Hooker, if someone is in love with Hendon Hooker, he could go before we pick at 10. It is possible that 5 quarterbacks could go in this draft before we pick, which would be wonderful. But it would also hurt our chances if they go before us to trade back.
Correct.
So you get a little mixed bag with that.
It helps you because defensive players fall if you're looking for a defensive player. It hurts you I think
it hurts you with the possibility that you could trade back to 16 for a quarterback,
right?
Or something.
And to Elliot, what Elliot was saying, we don't know how the first round's going to play out.
It depends on where quarterbacks go.
Yep.
What quarterbacks go? Like if Bryce Young isn't the number one pick, then you could really see a run on quarterbacks because he probably goes number two,
right?
And then all of a sudden,
Anthony Richardson, number one,
right? Exactly. So if that happens, then you know Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, like all those guys, then are probably going in the top five, and then Hendon Hooker at 11 is a real possibility.
Yeah. All right, Big Q, what is your best case scenario for you tonight with the Eagles? Is what player, what position, is it trading back, trading forward? What would you like to see tonight?
Well, if the Eagles stay at number 10, I wouldn't mind them getting Nolan Smith with that pick. I would like him. I think Tyree Wilson is going to be gone. I think the guys that you really want to covet, they're going to be gone. But if they took Nolan Smith at the 10th pick, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Hugh, does it worry you at all that Nolan Smith is the same size as Hassan Reddick? You know, small.
Smaller guys.
When 235.
When you look at most of those smaller ends, you know, Javon Kersley was a small defensive end.
But he wasn't that small.
He was a longer guy.
250.
But Javon was really – he was real.
He was thin.
He was kind of thin. Yeah. He was kind of thin. I think in this day and age, when you look at the way that the game is being played, you're a nickel more so than you are in regular defense. So I don't have a problem. And the way that the Eagles play, I don't have a problem having him out there in a rotation.
But wouldn't you rather have a guy – who is different, like physically? Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson. Tyree Wilson's 6'6", 270 pounds.
I don't think he's going to be there.
He's a legit 4-3 defensive end. Yeah. Like, they have a lot of outside linebacker 3-4 pass rushers.
Yes.
Tyree Wilson is physically a legit 4-3.
But I tell you what, he can play up and he can play down because he plays well with his hands. He gets great separation.
Yep.
And I think that's something that you can really have and benefit from on this level. But to your point, John, the way that they rotate defensive linemen now, it doesn't matter. Because nobody plays 60 snaps anymore as a defender. The only guys that's reserved for is quarterbacks and offensive linemen. Everybody else is in a package. Those are the only guys that are out there on the field the majority of the snaps.
Do you get jealous of that?
Sure, like, he does.
How many snaps?
You know what I'm jealous of? Jealous of the longevity that the players have now.
And the money, probably.
The money.
What's the comparison? How many snaps would you get
in this defense?
Average in a season.
But see, this is the thing, though, John. I ask myself, and I've wondered this before, would I be as effective playing less? And I don't think so, because, like, my coach, Tommy Brazier, it used to be like playing chess. You know, you set up certain moves in the first half.
Yeah, sure.
So that you could, you know, do them in the second half. And in this day and age, it's like every time, it's like speed dating. You better get what you got to say out real quick, because you're about to move on in a minute. So you got to get it going.
I wonder on the Nolan Smith thing, because the Eagles did sign Reddick last year, which kind of surprised all of us, right? They gave Reddick a decent amount of money. He hadn't done that much in the NFL.
Huge discount now.
Yeah, it is. The Eagles always tend to be ahead of the curve in the NFL. What if this is the next curve, like defensive ends that weigh 240 pounds?
Well, and the other benefit
could be.
The other benefit of Nolan Smith is...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think one of the toughest things in the draft, in taking a player that's good in college and take him to the NFL, is knowing how to use him and knowing what he can do. They have the exact blueprint with Hassan Reddick on how to use Nolan Smith. So I think there's concerns about him. He wouldn't be my pick at number 10. But if they do draft him, I think Nolan has a chance to be successful here because of the coaching staff and the blueprint on how they would have to use him.
There's overlap. A lot of times with our defense, when Hassan Reddick is on the field and we're in base,
Yeah, we run a 3-4. We also run what's called an under, which has one Sam linebacker, one Mike linebacker, one Will linebacker, and the Sam is Hassan Reddick. That would be overlap.
But I will say, if you look at their other defensive ends, Josh Sweat, very different body type, right? Brandon Graham, a very different body type. So of their top four, you're right, two of them would be overlap, but it's not the whole unit. I mean, right, like there are other different types of athletes at the edge position.
Yeah, I also wonder if the Eagles are interested in paying Hassan Reddick $25 or $30 million a year from now, right? It was a 3-year deal. I mean, if they think Nolan Smith's the next Hassan Reddick, you could draft the next Hassan Reddick.
He replaces him.
Howie should wake up every day and thank whatever God he prays to that Hassan Reddick does not demand a new deal this offseason.
Yes.
He might be the most underpaid non-rookie in the entire NFL. He was maybe the best defensive player in the league last year at a premium position. And he's getting, like, I don't know, I think his deal average is $10 million a year. He would probably get $35, $30 million a year on the open market. So the fact he's not getting a new deal, I think, is one of the most under-discussed things this offseason.
All right, so defensive. We all know that defensive line is something that the Eagles always want, and it's a need, and it's something that if there's a possibility to trade up, I think everybody agrees that they will do that. Offensive line, though. There's Joe is a Skoronski guy. Mm-hmm. Paris Johnson is a guy, offensive tackle, that could play guard, I guess. John Ritchie, as far as an offensive lineman, there at 10. Bijan may be there at 10. He may not be. Could go to 8 to Atlanta. But your thoughts on using a pick of an offensive lineman at 10?
Yeah, it feels like chalk. It feels that there was a period of time here prior to this draft where I was just dead set with certainty that we would go offensive line when everyone was talking Skoronski. You know, now that we're closer to the draft, I don't know if you've noticed, he's slipping. Skoronski's slipping. Paris is rising. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that these scouts and coaches, the closer we get, the more likely that they are to go chalk. You know, like, you want to go with the sure thing.
It is one of the safest picks they can have is to go offensive line.
But, it's also
but
one of the
I don't know that
Skoronski
is great technically and everything else, but he's got the shorter arms where people don't feel as though he would have quite the same advantage that Paris Johnson would have. He's just built more like a tackle, Paris Johnson is. And if we're everyone, Joe especially, seems to be talking about Lane and his health. If they're looking to replace a tackle, I'm not sure Skoronski's the best option. I think Paris Johnson is a better tackle right now. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about, letting Stoutland
line.
Work on him for 2 years, you know, it's sort of a wash. I absolutely prefer Bijan in that case. I absolutely prefer a guy like Jalen Carter if he ends up slipping to us. Jalen Carter, man, if he makes it past the Seahawks, I'm really excited for what he could do for us. A D-tackle, we know that these coaches want a D-tackle who can penetrate and who can get pressure on a quarterback. Like the antithesis of Jordan Davis. That's what we need at D-tackle.
They need one. It's not just a want. They absolutely need one.
What was their biggest loss in free agency, right, with Javon Hargrave?
Right. Yeah.
Like they didn't replace that. That's a significant loss. They didn't replace.
Jalen Carter is a difference maker. As a D-tackle, a 315-pound D-tackle who will get pressure on quarterbacks, he's awesome. I love just watch the angles that he plays at. Watch the way he edges. Watch the way
he has violent hands.
Oh,
man.
Absolutely.
Like when he hits you, you know you've been hit. Like, he's moving abruptly. He's moving the crowd.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Would you guys trade up? I mean, it could be 5. It could be 6. It could be 7. There's been talk of 3. Hugh, would you trade your 30th pick, your first-round draft pick,
if everything checks out, because I think there's a lot of question marks, which I think he's answered the question for the Eagles. Yes. I would get him at 7. I would trade up to go get him. Yes.
John Ritchie?
Yeah, he's that special as a player that if the little black book checks out, I would not have an issue with trading up. And I hate the idea of throwing
30
picks away.
Yeah, that's
I'll throw the second round in there or, you know, possibly that number 30 pick. I don't know if you'd need to throw the 30 in.
I don't want to do it. I'm not questioning these guys on his ability. I mean, you guys are almost surely right. Like, he's a star level player. John, I worry about the red flags. Like, and I don't want to throw cold water on what the incident that happened because people lost their lives. But if that was the only thing I think I would say a kid made a mistake, right? A bunch of kids went out and did something stupid. That happens, unfortunately, a lot.
Right.
But there's other things, right? There's been those rumblings for months that maybe he doesn't work as hard. Maybe he takes plays off. Maybe he obviously showed up to his pro day overweight. Like, they've had a thing here.
Well, that's unbelievable to me.
The
biggest job interview of your life. I know you've got a lot of complications going on in your life otherwise, but, man, come on.
They've had a thing the last few years here where they draft players where you don't question they're all in, right? Devontae Smith seems like he's here every minute of the day. Jalen Hurts. Maybe they can add someone who's not like that and it evens out and the culture brings him along, but I'd be worried about trading up for him. If he's there at 10, obviously, just take the pick, right? Like, it's just like, just take him and take a chance. But trading up, it's a worry for me.
Elliot, if they move up, who would it be for?
So I do think if they move up, it would be for either Will Anderson or
Jalen Carter.
Right. I mean, also, so I wouldn't rule out a small move up if they really like Paris Johnson. I think that would be a massive mistake, but I wouldn't rule that out. As far as trading 10 and 30, to Joe's point, here's why I might be hesitant to do it. The theme of this draft is really prioritizing offense. Offense matters more. And as good as Jalen Carter is, and as big of a need it is, am I really investing two of the biggest assets this organization has into the defensive side of the ball? To me, it's very clear. The mission tonight is go get Bijan Robinson. He makes the biggest difference for this team. He's the best player in the draft. He helped you win that Super Bowl they just lost. If I'm taking two assets, I'm not putting it in the weaker side, the weaker for sure, but the less important side of the ball. I would be hesitant to do it. I would understand it to a degree, but I would be very hesitant.
All right. We are live at Lincoln Financial Field, the 94 WIP draft show. Eagles will be drafting, maybe, at, what, about 9 o'clock?
That was a strong argument, though.
Or
that was
so?
That was a strong, strong
appreciate
argument.
Appreciate that.
Strong. See that?
Yeah.
Good job, Elliot.
That's why I got drafted when you did.
Exactly right. All right. If they stand pat, they draft at 10, we're looking 9-ish. Is that right? About 9-15, 9-20?
Yeah, that was the time of the 10th pick last year, around that time.
What if you were to give me a percentage of the Eagles staying at 10 and 30, what would you say it was?
5.
No. But a 0?
Howie's not staying. No way.
I would say 30%.
I think he's staying. I think this draft is going to play out exactly like they want it to. And there's going to be a little bit of drama at that 10th pick. I got a feeling that that's going to be the case.
Well, that would be awesome. All right, we'll come back. If you want to try to get a phone call in at 215-592-9494, John Marks, John Ritchie, Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore-Parks. We're live at Lincoln Financial Field, the 94 WIP Eagles Draft Show. Back after this. All right, we're back. It is the 94 WIP Eagles Draft Show, live from Lincoln Financial Field. Place is packed. As Ike Reese joins us again live from the dunk tank, or back from the dunk tank,
yes.
Ike.
Man, it was cold out there, man. What's wrong with you, man?
How was it?
Yeah, you know brothers don't do this, man. But yeah,
cold.
But, you
know,
yes, I did it. I did it for the kids, man. No, so seriously.
What Michael Jordan say?
Listen, it was cold, but I'll tell you this. Once you get the first time down.
How many times down did you
Or at least
go.
10. At least 10.
Oh, damn.
And I'm saying 10
Someone
to
locked in on you.
Damn, yeah. Joe, and the sun about to go down?
If anyone wants to dunk me, I'll be there in an hour. So,
Jillio, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock
damn,
till 9,
the sun about to go down, Joe. It's going to be a little
Yeah, I'm going to come
gonna
back up
cold
here.
Out there,
an ice cube.
I will say my strategy did sort of work. I wanted to be first, so I got in at 6.
Where the sun was
the
up.
The sun was still out there, yeah.
Yeah, so no one. I didn't hear about these options. They put me in there when it's dark.
Well, it's because you're Joe.
Boy, it's about to be brick out there, too, dog, for real.
It's going to be in the 40s.
Listen, I hope you brought. Now, I went with a T-shirt. I didn't wear socks. I started to. Dave, he's in there with a full body suit.
I have like seven. I have layers. I have layers.
Because you know what? Because this ain't his first rodeo. He know what
he's doing.
He's got like a scuba suit on.
Yeah,
scuba,
basically, yes.
Scuba
not
Steve.
Not going to lie, guys. I did search for a wetsuit. Couldn't find one. Was thinking about that.
So, Joe, you saw something here. So, it's been a weird lead up to the draft because I think everybody, for the most part, thought Bryce Young in the last at least couple weeks is going to be the first overall pick. But then it's really like, what are the Texans doing it too? It's like they were out on Stroud, and then they were in. Then maybe the pick is eligible to be drafted. Arizona's looking to deal the pick. What's the latest thing that you're seeing here, Joe Giglio?
So at FanDuel right now, C.J. Stroud is now -320 to go number 2. That's a pretty heavy favorite. and he is minus 300 at DraftKings, and he's off the board at some other books. So there's movement, people that think they know, or they're betting on it, that C.J. Stroud should be the number two pick. That's pretty significant. That means the defensive players are starting to fall, right? Because it goes right. quarterback. That means Will Anderson, Carter, Wilson.
Tyree Wilson, yeah.
If that happens, you're getting four quarterbacks in the first four picks. Agree? Or at least three.
I think it's going to be five. I'm going for five.
Because Indy's not going to pass on a quarterback. No, correct.
It's a matter of what happens at three. And if someone's trading up for a quarterback at two, that might take Arizona out of trading that pick out, because if there's not a team willing to go up to get a quarterback, we'll have to see. But at the very least, Joe, to your point, that does now there's going to be a defensive player that drops one more spot, which could mean that's a potential target of the Eagles, either at 10 or, Ike, to trade up to 8 with the Falcons or trade up. Tyree Wilson is the name that makes sense to me. Will Anderson, I don't think, is going to drop. I don't think Jalen Carter is going to drop. But Wilson has a foot problem, and some teams are viewing him differently than others. Oh. So he potentially could be a guy that the Eagles are eyeing up and could trade up and get.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of homework on Wilson. Obviously, he's one of the better pass rushers. He's one of the better defenders in the draft. You talk about that foot injury. Well, you hope it's not anything that's going to be some sort of lingering issue, right? So, and we know the Eagles covet pass rushers. So if they can't get a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter and Wilson were to fall, I don't think they would have any problem going up to get him.
Hugh, I know you really liked Wilson when you watched him.
Freak of nature, man. Like, you talk about somebody, when you watch him, it's funny because he don't like you coming off the ball that fast. But when he hits you, you know you've been hit.
Yeah.
He has a lot of ability. He has a lot of upside. He can play up and he can play down. I would not be mad if they got Tyree Wilson with that 10th pick.
The thing that's great about what he brings is the size at 6'6", 271 means you can put him at the 5 technique in your 3-4. You can put him at the DN spot in your 4-3 or just your nickel and dime. You know, he can move all over the place. He can play D-tackle for you. He can play DN for you. He can play outside linebacker for you. And he can move. And he makes people realize they've been touched when he decides to
not by
hit
an angel,
you.
Not touched by an angel.
The guy 6'6", 270 is pretty big.
He reminds me of Willie McGinnis. Willie McGinnis with those long arms.
He was awful.
We all know what Willie capable of.
He was awful to have to deal with.
I'm sure he was.
I mean, you can't get it. A guy like this, a guy like Tyree Wilson, you can't get into his body. If you're me, the 6'2 and a half, 250 pound fullback, I can't get my arms inside on you because you've got this incredible wingspan. You've got the incredible length. It does matter. This guy's got it. Our DNs don't have it. I mean, Brandon Graham does not have that. Yes, Josh Sweat's got it. He's got good length. But this is sort of a departure for us. I like the departure. I think we need more players who are cookie cutter size, height, weight. That helps.
Mm. All right, so we
versatility.
We have two people up here. Well, not including me, but two football guys up here, and John Ritchie and Ike Reese, that are pro Bijan and very much want the Eagles to take him at 10. You have one football guy, Hugh Douglas, that I don't think he wants to take Bijan at 10. And then you have Giglio, who wants Skoronski.
The level of disrespect he just had in his voice when he said Giglio's name.
Peter Skoronski, no matter what. That's the motto tonight, no matter what.
All right, Hugh, why wouldn't you take Bijan at 10?
Because 10 is too high to take a running back, plain and simple. If you got him at any other position than 10, I would be okay with that, but not at 10.
11.
No. 20th.
All right, 20th. How about 16? How about you trade or
compromise?
Wherever.
I'm willing to compromise, but not at 10. Because, listen, let me tell you the difference between a player you take at 10, in my opinion, and a player you take later. That player that you take at 10, that's at least 8 to 10 years in the NFL. That's how I view, and I think that's how most teams view that range from that 10 to 15, 20, somewhere around there. The player, Bijan Robinson, is going to have his best years, probably his first, second, third, and maybe his fourth.
His first five are probably going to start to curtail.
Let me, perfect example is this. Derrick Henry, for the last couple of years, had been one of the most dominant backs in NFL. And I'm not taking anything from him because he still had a really good year this year. But he got off to a slow-ass start.
Yep.
And that's usually the sign where you know that your game is about to diminish.
So that's his.
So would you trade all of that, knowing all of that information there? If I were to go along with that, but I throw in my own little hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Bijan Robinson gives you a better chance of winning the Super Bowl within the next 2 years.
Well, see, to your point, I think that it to answer your question, he does. But Jahmyr Gibbs also gives you that opportunity.
Sure. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm looking at it economically, because I know for a lot of people, it's apples and oranges when it comes to Bijan Robinson. To me, it's apples and it's fresh apples and maybe 15 to 20 day old apples. But they still, it's still apples.
You know, we got the spot. Those
are gross apples.
They might be. Hey, listen, John.
Those
they
are
might
awful be, apples. Listen, after 20 you days, have you got worms all.
You got
in
soft
them,
spots
rotting.
On the. Yeah.
You might
yeah.
have them red supple apples. Then you got these Granny Smiths over here. I might rock with them Granny Smiths. I might roll with those. Right,
so you mentioned Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry just finished his seventh year.
Yeah.
And after 7 years, you can clearly see he's not in his prime. And
no, he started to diminish.
He's starting to regress.
He rushed for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns last year.
So no, that's what I'm saying, but he got off to a slow start.
But 4.4 yards per carry, all right?
Yards per carry,
so,
okay.
But still a top five running back. Yeah. Dalvin Cook just finished 6 years, right?
Yep.
So what you're seeing.
He is about 1,300 yards.
Right. So what you're seeing is that after year five, year six, they're still performing at a very high level. Who cares about years 8, 9, and 10? You're talking about a team right now that's trying to win a Super Bowl.
We're talking about economics. We're talking about economics. That's basically what we're talking about. And I always use this analogy, more bang for your buck. If I'm out here running a streetcar and I'm changing the pulleys and putting a new exhaust on it, and I'm running with Teslas and everything like that, why would I put more money into my car? I mean, because I'm still running and being competitive with other vehicles that I'm running on the road with. It's the same thing to me.
When did you become an accountant, man? What is going
listen,
on
we
right
do
now?
Math on the midday listen, show. We do
I try
everything.
To, listen, I try to channel my inner Howie Roseman when I talk about
here,
stuff
man?
Like this.
I mean,
I know y'all
sitting
at y'all,
the Jillio
listen,
every day, man.
Y'all like to spend other people's money.
I'm just saying. Well, listen, yeah.
Hey, right, it's not ours.
I do think there's something, another element to the money, guys. Free agent running backs don't get paid much, right? So if you take a running back at 10, they're paid pretty high compared to other running backs.
Sure.
You're not getting a discount.
Yeah.
Guards now make $100 million. The kid in Atlanta got $100 million.
That was a terrible deal.
Well, okay, but tackles.
He was the best. He was the
tackles
best
guard get
today.
It. Like, let's say the Eagles take a pass rusher and he is a great player. They're saving like $30 million a year, right? Because the guy they drafted is not making anything compared to if they had a pay in free agency. I just don't know how you take a running back at 10 because it's like you don't get any value.
Because he's a great
Because he's amazing.
Player.
Oh, there it is.
Why is it everyone seems to think that you take an incredible offensive line, block
he's
massive
a,
holes
he's
wide
He's
open.
A cornerstone player.
A foundational player.
This guy, this Bijan Robinson guy, can jump over people, can talk run to, around people,
you
know can what? Juke everyone, can break everyone.
You know what, John to go to the Olympics
4.5 yards
I am so surprised that you.
Carry after contact. Look, if you insert
Richie.
This guy in this offense, everyone seems to think, like, oh, it won't make a big difference. Like, because we've had bad backs here before. This guy is a great back.
How about
this guy
this?
Will be a top three back in the NFL with this group around him.
Right.
We will destroy people.
Listen,
destroy.
I'll take Jahmyr Gibbs, and I can give you all of that and for
Gibbs
a much cheaper price.
Is a third down back.
He's but I can give you all of that for a much cheaper price.
I just don't
much
understand
cheaper,
the,
yes.
the need to
and
improve.
And he fits this offense more so than the other guy does.
I just don't understand the need to improve the best running game in the NFL. Like for the last 2 years, they've run for more yards
we haven't
than
had
any
a great,
team.
We have not had a great running back.
But, okay, and
we
yet,
have a great running game.
Right.
We will have the greatest running game in the NFL.
It's a passing
down.
League.
But is that because, you have, good, so is that because you have great running backs, or is that because you have Jalen Hurts and you have a good offensive
that's
line?
That's it. That's my point.
It's all of the above.
Right.
If the one part we have not seen is a great running back here. You cannot predict how great that will be. It will be a difference maker.
Can I say this to that?
Yeah.
We do not run the ball enough to justify drafting that man at 10. That's what we're talking about.
Are you thinking of Andy Reid Eagles or are you thinking of these
but
Eagles?
I'm thinking about the NFL in general. When you talk about the fact that more so than ever before, you have nickel packages. More so than ever before, you have
But I think that's why more people are running it. I think what we're seeing is a reaction to the small, fast guys. Yeah. And you've got teams who are saying, hey, if we can line up and tell you we're going to run it and run it anyway, we're in a great spot. We're ahead of that curve.
Here's the other part to that. He's not just a runner. He is a weapon.
Here we go.
He is a weapon.
He runs deep routes.
You're going to pay premium dollars to.
Well, you look at how many touches you give him. If I give him 17 to 20 touches a game, that could be 15 rushes and five receptions.
Do you know who you just described? Like,
yeah.
Brian Westbrook.
Christian McCaffrey.
Brian Westbrook. That's what you. So I could get a guy.
But a bigger version of Brian Westbrook. Imagine if Brian Westbrook was 5'11", 220 pounds.
And look at what the 49ers are paying.
So I don't disagree with any of you guys that think he's a good player. I think he's a good player, too. He's going to be a great player. He could be great. But I think it's easier to find a good running back later than it is
to find good
on the other positions they're going to pass up.
I'm not a good guard any damn way. All right,
forget the guard thing. God. A pass rusher. And you can't find Skaronskis anywhere. Okay?
All right, so let me just put one other thing here about why you draft him, and then we'll try to move on from it. And Ike talked about this in the last 2 weeks.
We've been trying to move on for 2 months.
No, but listen.
We ain't moved on yet.
Well, till tomorrow, next week when he's not an Eagle. But, like, one of the reasons why you would draft him is that the Super Bowl hangover is real, right? Like, coming out after losing or even winning the Super Bowl is real, right? So there hasn't been an addition in this team, on this offense.
Oh, so you want somebody to make you feel better?
No, but...
That's what you're telling me.
Not me.
The fan
not
base.
Me. This gives the offense and this gives the team some energy that you couldn't get from anywhere else.
Oh, my feelings is hurt. We lost the Super Bowl. I need something to make me feel better. Go get me a running back. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like my son the other day when he wanted that dinosaur.
No. Not something to make you better.
Make
something,
you feel better.
Something that gives the offense a different dynamic and brings a different look and different things to the offense.
John, it reminds me what you're saying there of the Phillies signing
Trey Turner
after losing the World Series.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, and everyone was excited. But, like, I get your idea. I get your point. Like, add to this thing that was already good but not good enough. I mean,
Yeah, imagine if the Phillies had said, we just came back from the World Series. Why do we need to go pay a shortstop?
I mean, maybe if they went and signed some pitching, we're having a different story. So I'm just saying, like, there's other ways to spend the resource.
Who would Skaronski be in Major League Baseball that Gillio would have signed?
A nice, reliable starting pitcher.
No,
he's better.
Y'all just confirmed for y'all this is an emotional pick. You guys are being emotional about this.
I'm emotional about everything. Yeah, you're right.
And I will be emotional if they take Bijan Robinson number 10.
I'm emotional about everything.
It's not
this isn't about being rational.
It's not.
This
it's not about.
About
but
what
it's about,
we want.
It's about building a good team that still can be very, very dynamic, without paying a running back at 10.
But why do we care what it costs? It's not our money.
Because we trying to field a good team and keep some money.
You want to be efficient.
Yeah. Just, man, listen,
more bang for your buck, man.
Our quarterback is going to be eating up about 5% of our salary cap. That's even more reason we can add Bijan Robinson.
Yep. All right. So a couple other things. John Ritchie, I'll go to you. We're talking a lot about the first round, but what are some areas that the Eagles absolutely positively have to address in this draft in general? What can't they leave this weekend not getting better at?
I would prefer to see a safety drafted today. I mean, Reed Blankenship is serviceable.
He's a good backup / starting player, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, serviceable. He's willing. He'll get out there. He'll strike people. I appreciate that, but he's not the game changer that you'd hope for. A guy who's got the physical skills to run with a slot receiver, a good slot receiver. Yeah, I could use. I could use help at safety. I could use help at D-tackle. Man, we are so thin. And this idea that we can depend upon Fletcher Cox, that has flown the coop.
Well, it's also one more year until they sign him again after that year.
It's just impossible, right?
He's the new Jason Peters.
This is the last one. So D-tackle and safety.
We got a whole team full of Jason Peters. And Kelsey's not going anywhere.
He taught them all. Just keep hanging on.
Brandon Graham.
They'll pay you.
What else are you looking for in the draft past the first pick? What do they need?
I'll go with a pass rusher. Like, my whole thing is, if we're not going to get a weapon on offense, I'd rather get a weapon on defense so somebody can get after the quarterback. I'm always in favor of that. That make you the happy you?
Protect your assets. Get somebody to protect your quarterback. And some difference makers, yes. I totally agree.
So King Skoronski over here, Joe Giglio, and DeCamera when he was up here, too.
Yeah, he was a Skoronski guy,
but,
too.
But
yeah.
they both make really good points.
You guys are both Skoronski still?
Oh, yes.
Have you
yes.
noticed that he's sliding the whole way out of the first round?
That's all hyperbole at this point. Everybody's throwing out those little crazy stories.
Yeah, when he makes six all-pro teams, that's all I care about.
That's all you worry about.
One of their main points was that you're light on the offensive line and you're one injury away from potentially being in trouble. So I don't know if that means second round or third round. You don't have a lot of mid. You don't have the mid-round picks.
Yeah,
this year.
I got to walk. I mean, if it's not Skoronski or Paris Johnson, I got to walk out at some point the next 2 or 3 days. Like with offensive lines out. I mean, it's as thin as it has been around here in years, guys. I mean, if they lose a Lane or a Kelsey, the season could go down the tubes. I don't think they have enough on the offensive line. It's been such a strength.
What offensive line has?
This one is
10 guys deep.
But this one, the Eagles have built their teams that way.
We had that in part because we had a quarterback on his first contract. NFL teams that have to pay their guy, they can't afford to do that. I like guys like Jack Driscoll. I think Jack Driscoll can fill in at any of these spots up front, but we are thinner than we've been. That is a worry. That is not going to dictate my draft.
No, but it could dictate the season. Guys, if they have injuries on the offensive line, we saw what happened in 2020.
You can make that point for every team in the NFL.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to fix the problem before it happens. I'm just seeing the problems before they happen. I'm trying to fix them. I'm trying to patch the holes before they happen.
You're playing chess, Joe. Tell them. You're playing chess.
I'm trying.
Yeah, we play checkers,
though.
That's
a non-existent hole. I'd rather get a guy we can have play right now and help us win a
Super Bowl. I'm thinking worst-case scenario.
No, y'all playing checkers. By drafting a running back, y'all playing checkers.
I like Connect 4.
King me.
Connect 4, that's Bijan at number 10. Connect 4.
Yeah, it's so many different dimensions in Connect 4. Think about that, man.
Here we go.
It's not two dimensions any longer, man.
Exactly.
All right. Got vertical.
One note here. This is from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He says the Cardinals not only are trying to trade 3, they're trying to include DeAndre Hopkins in the transaction.
Trying to dump him in the trade.
Right, so like Tennessee, who's been linked pretty heavily to the number 3 pick, they're trying to
They might take a quarterback.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah, that they're interested.
Young fella, his was okay.
No, man.
Malik Willis?
They're already out on Malik Willis, man.
Yeah.
See, that's why I feel that you just brought it up. I feel like there's going to be 5 quarterbacks taken before the Eagles draft because there's so much emphasis on trying to find a quarterback nowadays. Somebody's about to panic to get one of these quarterbacks. It's about to be – somebody's about to go into full panic mode when this draft starts before the Eagles draft. Trust me on this.
Well, I thought the Ravens would, but they got their quarterback.
They got their quarterback.
Yeah,
why do you think they signed him? Because this is about to get bananas. I said Anthony Richardson's first player taken, I'm telling you.
It's possible. Anthony Richardson is awesome.
Don't you think
– doesn't everyone believe that there was an ultimatum? Like there was an end date on the Lamar Jackson offer.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
This was today was the Ravens put an offer out there, I don't know, weeks ago.
Yep.
And he finally took it.
Hey, you got to take this by the draft because we need to know if we're taking a quarterback. Yeah.
Or they might have just said, we're taking a quarterback if you don't take this offer.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah.
Might take
yeah. Everyone's making this out to be like, oh, look how touchy-feely and friendly everyone is now. I don't think that was
Lamar said, I better take this contract now before I lose money.
Like, yeah.
Well, he plays this year and gets injured again. He may not have the same value.
Yep.
All right, coming up next is the draft show continues. Glenn Mack now comes up. And we'll be going pick through pick. So don't go anywhere. We'll be here until the draft is over for tonight. Joe Giglio slides to the dunk tank. Glenn Mack now comes up here. And you'll hear pick by pick live on the air. So don't go anywhere. We're live at Lincoln Financial Field. It is the 94 WIP Draft Show. Back after this.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.